Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We're live in the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios on a bench. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every day, 855-212-4227. This game preview brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Trades are scary. When a player leaves your team, you can't like them anymore, can you? You can't even wear their jersey. Except here, we don't judge, but others might. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. Here's the deal. How about the Dodgers quit messing around with the Braves? On Saturday night, Rich Hill, the lefty, against Julio Teheran for the Braves. I can't even believe that the Braves stopped their winning streak, for one, right? They went out there and ended the 11-game winning streak. And then they show up the very next day, tonight, and they lead them 2-0 in the fourth. Now, I don't know if that'll stand, but what the hell's going on at Chavez Ravine where this team beats everyone's ass and they can't beat the Braves? Now, the Braves have been solid. I'll give you that. I think that pitching matchup's going to be fantastic on Saturday night at the Ravine. Also, Pittsburgh, Colorado. Can the Pirates stay hot? They're up 10-3 tonight. That'll be six straight wins for them. All kinds of changes happening. Don't forget, David Price goes for Boston and Anaheim on Saturday night as well. This game preview brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports. Our buddy Jerry Hinnon is back on the bench, and I said earlier all kinds of glorious things about him. He's one of my favorite people because he loves college football, college basketball, and he loves soccer. And all of those things are the reason why he's been on my show forever. He's back on the bench tonight to talk about a number of things. Jerry, how you been, buddy?
I have been phenomenal, Scott. I am beyond thrilled to be back on the show. There's a few things we could talk about, I feel like.
Yeah.
One or two.
Let's start with, and I want to get into some games later. So let's start with this mess down in Oxford. Did you ever think you'd see the day that, now I knew they were in big trouble, but did you ever see the day that it would be his undoing that they busted him calling hookers?
No, not really. It almost seems too cliche that, like, you've got the really kind of churchy, you know, God, you know, all about the Bible verses on the Twitter feed coach being brought down because of a scandal like this. It's really out of something like, you know, what was the ESPN show, Playmakers? Like, it's like something off of some TV drama,
right,
where you set up the character to have this kind of sanctimonious fall later.
So do you know, hold on a second.
That a week ago, I say, no, it's too cliche.
Right.
Like, that can't really happen.
Do you know, let me just stop you. The guy that I compared it to last night was Jim Baker, when he got brought down by that Jessica Hahn. Do you remember when the guy was like the religious television evangelist, preacher begging for money from everybody, and he built like a college campus and Jerry Falwell and all those people? Do you remember Baker when he got busted with the hooker? Like, this is what it reminds me of. Like, it's just crazy. And now the fallout is just insane. Like, the guy was out the door, no golden parachute, no money, no severance, no buyout, no nothing. I mean, he's ruined.
It's bad news. Like, he will be back eventually because he's too good of an offensive mind to not become somebody's analyst to start with, to not become somebody's play caller eventually, but to become a head coach, and certainly a head coach in the kind of job he had where – he's making $4 million a year, where he has the support of the boosters, of the administration. You know, at any other school with just about any other coach, if you're facing the kind of NCAA violations that Hugh Freeze and Ole Miss have been facing here for the last year, your ass would have been gone a long time ago. They stood behind him They were behind him 100% up until, as far as we knew, the last 48 hours. That doesn't happen everywhere. Hugh Freeze is never going to be in a better situation than he was just in. I mean, again, he's a guy from this area, Memphis, Mississippi. These are his roots here. It really was the perfect, you know, match between the coach and the program, and that's why Ole Miss was kind of going to the mat for him and say, no, like, we're backing this guy up. We don't think he had anything to do with these violations. He was in control of the program, this kind of stuff. And for it to all just come crumbling down, no, Hugh Freeze is never going to be on top of a pedestal like that ever again.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I got to tell you, first of all, I think he's going to lose a lawsuit. I think he's going to lose and have to write a check to Houston Nutt. I think the university's also going to have to write a big fat check to Houston Nutt. I believe Nutt has a very lively lawsuit against them that I believe he can win. I think they did. I mean, without a doubt, even here, we have followed this story from the jump, and this guy has been – they've been slamming this guy publicly for over a year and blaming him for everything. As far as I'm concerned, that guy's going to win lawsuits against both of them. I think the beginning of the end is just happening right now. I think, A, he got fired. B, his wife's going to leave him. C, he's going to end up – all that money he made, that $4 or $5 million a year, he's going to end up giving half of it to Houston Nutt.
Nutt is – it's an unbelievable story. Like, you know, Nutt gets tossed out of his Arkansas job, which leads to Bobby Petrino getting the Arkansas job and him getting tossed out of it for the motorcycle thing. And then, you know, Nutt lands at Ole Miss. It's this unbelievable sort of circle of, like, lies and deceits and FOIA requests and phone records. And it really is the sort of thing that – you know, people talk about SEC football being different on the field. I don't know if it's all that different on the field. SEC football off the field is different from the rest of college football off the field. This is the sort of tangled web that simply do not get woven across the rest of the country when it comes to college football. And I agree with you, you know, as far as Nutt's concerned, I think he's sitting pretty right now. And I don't know, you know, when he filed that lawsuit, if this was the end that he necessarily foresaw, but I don't think he's probably feeling too bad this evening.
You know, I heard from my contacts in this business that I talked to in college football about this guy that said that a lot of coaches think he's a phony, that he had this whole Bible thing going, and he was selling that he was this born-again Christian, and he was holier-than-thou, and he was selling God to everybody. You know, and it's just unbelievable that the guy that tries to play like he's the most religious guy in the game is calling hookers. I mean, it's just – it's beyond laughable. I can't even begin. This is so juicy. I just think it's just fantastic. I don't think it tops Louisville, where they had – stripper and porn star parties with drugs and booze, and everybody said they didn't know anything about it. They lied through their teeth, and all these kids were getting laid. I thought that was way better than this, but this is right up the alley, same street.
Yeah, well, you know, talking about the coaches calling him phony, Dan Mullen kind of hinted at that a few years ago. It wasn't long after Freeze had been hired. And there's a little bit of a kind of, you know, who is more holier than the other. And Mullen kind of hinted that maybe there, you know, Freeze had a little bit of a facade up. And, of course, the Rebel fans went nuts. They're saying Mullen's accusing, you know, Freeze, attacking him over his religion and this kind of stuff. So, yeah, that's certainly not a new idea. And I think anytime you've got somebody who puts on this intense affront of, you know, their religiousness, you know, there are going to be people who kind of want to see them brought down as far as, you know, from the sanctimony angle. And then you add in the football success. And, you know, again, Freeze really was on a pedestal in many ways. You know, people are going to want to kind of bump that pedestal out from under him. And for it to actually play out this way, as you say, it really is just mind-blowing. I can't believe this is actual real life where we're talking about this and Hugh Freeze you know, the coach at Ole Miss, $4 million a year, being ruined over these particular phone records. The pattern of misconduct, as his own athletic director described it, is really just unbelievable.
Now, let me ask you this. Jerry Hinnan with us on the bench, our college football insider and soccer guru. Let me ask you. So last night I was reading that he got to, before this all went down, they let him actually slaughter some of the phone calls he had made on his phone records. So in other words, he got to go through some of the phone records and delete some of the calls. In what world are we living in that someone allowed him to do that when he's a public servant working as a coach for a university in the state of Mississippi where it's an open record law and that everyone that is a public servant, you know everything that they do, allegedly. This is as bad as politicians. Did you hear about him being able to, like, scrap some of these calls before he had to turn over his phone records? Like, what kind of BS was that?
Well, this is his argument, is that he misdialed and that, you know, this
he's lying.
What Freeze is saying is that if this number was really such a big deal, then he would have redacted it from these records. That if he had anything to hide, well, he wouldn't have hidden it because he could have with this sort of stuff. I have no idea about the laws and the regulations. I agree. It strikes me as extremely dubious that, yes, if you are using your state phone, and you were subject to public records requests, that you're able to just sort of pick and choose which of those records get turned over in a court of law, basically. But again, this is Freeze's defense, is that he's saying, no, I didn't just mess up and accidentally not expose this record, which it wasn't like just that one. Like Ole Miss is, what happened was Ole Miss got hold of those records because of the lawsuit, and then
right.
their administration like went through the rest of the records. And found out, oh, like, again, it's not just this one accidental dial, supposedly. This is a pattern
right.
That we have found in the phone records.
He's a liar.
I'm not sure whether he's allowed to do that, but it didn't help him.
He's a liar. He's lying through his teeth, and that's why he's gone with no money, because they said, we got you busted cold, and you're out of here, so you're going to resign, and you're going to tell everyone that you're stepping away, which is a big facade. The whole thing's an act. He's a liar. He's busted. His wife's going to turn on him. She's not going to sleep with him ever again. That's inevitable. Let me ask you this question. And then what we're going to do is we're going to break and we're going to come back because I want to talk to him about some big games. Is that possible?
Yeah.
Do I have that kind of schedule? All right, here we go. So is Brent Venables the guy that you feel would be the perfect hire for? I've heard all this Lane Kiffin I can take. He just committed to this school in Boca. If he shafts those people, he might as well put a big X on his head and say, kill me.
I would love to see Brent Venables if I'm Ole Miss. That guy's got to be at the top of the list. If, you know, I can't imagine why you would want to hire somebody who has not been the best defensive coordinator in the country the last couple of years. He's got familiarity with people who might be able to run a similar style offense. You know, what Clemson's been running the last couple of years, what Ole Miss has been running the last couple of years, very similar, kind of spread you out, throw the ball, run up the middle, you know, when they're not expecting kind of offenses. I think Venables would be able to hire a great staff. I have been talking this guy up for so long. I don't know how we've gone through, you know, he took Clemson to the playoffs a couple of years ago after they'd lost a bunch of NFL talent. They won the national championship last year with one of the best defenses in the country after they lost even more NFL talent. He's been the best defensive coordinator in college football the last couple of seasons. I don't know why he is still a defensive coordinator, and if Ole Miss gets him, they're going to be extremely lucky.
Yeah, and let me say this. I heard today that Bobby Petrino's name's in the mix. Here's for me saying he shouldn't be allowed to leave Louisville. It should be a law, a state law, where if he were to leave Louisville for another job, he would have to serve 10 years in prison for leaving Louisville. That guy's another one I don't trust as far as I could spit. I don't care. Good evening, Louisville. I hope you're listening. He's another one. He's a good coach. He needs to stay there after all of his crimes and misdemeanors. And that's all I have to say about that. We'll come back with Jerry and talk about two things. All the good college football games coming up that we're going to bet heavily on when we go to Vegas. And then we'll talk about the Gold Cup. semis, right? It's the semis. And then I did want to say one thing real quick, Mafia, about Vegas. We're going to be there August 28th for the whole week at the D Casino Hotel on Fremont Street. Five shows, August 28th through September 1st. We're even going to stay on September 2nd to watch football all day and take the red eye back to New York that night at midnight. So we're there for the fantasy draft on the 26th and 27th, the same weekend of the Mayweather fight. 35 ahead to get in, luxury private suite for up to 14 people. You get a draft kit, multiple flat screen TVs, cocktail service, first cocktail free, food catered by Gold Spike, American Coney Island, and Nacho Daddy. To get in on it, you got to call the D sales department at 702-388-2200. That's 702-388-2200. Or sales at thed.com. Remember, View Bar, second floor, every night, August 28th through September 1st, five live shows. Pharrell, Carver, High, Drinking Heavily. It's going to be unbelievable in Sin City. Plus, we're going to be there for the 24th and 25th broadcasting from the MGM for Mayweather-McGregor. Bottom line, we're kick-ass. We're like godlike. We're going to be in Vegas for like 10 days. We're like pimps.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So, just so you know, that John Wall deal, he exercises the fourth year on his designated player extension. He'll make $570,743 per game. Tough way to make a living, right? To make $570,000 a game in the NBA season. Can you imagine getting paid that much money to do something one day? Just for one day. For one night. I mean, that is just unbelievable. Think about it. One NBA game, 570 grand per night. Like, you wonder what these guys, like, are you kidding? The money they make? It's absolutely unbelievable. Should they have to give the money back if they have a crappy night shooting? They should chop off thousands every time they miss a jumper. That's the way the league should work. It's unbelievable. Jerry Hennin's with us. We're talking college football and a little Gold Cup. So let me throw this out there. Saturday, Costa Rica and the U.S.
Yep.
And Sunday, Jamaica and Mexico. Tell me what you think of those games.
I think the U.S. had better win this freaking game. You know, Bruce Arena has said basically by bringing in the ringers, basically, his first line guys that happen to play in MLS. He hasn't brought in the guys from Europe. Christian Pulisic isn't here. But he's got Michael Bradley in now. He's got Josie Altidore in now. He's got Tim Howard in now. After those guys, Mr. Crusade, what he is saying is we want to win this tournament. And if he does not win this tournament, after basically saying we're not going to worry about trying to develop guys for the World Cup, we are here to win this thing right now, then that's not going to be so great. It's not going to change his employment status or anything, not in the middle of World Cup qualification, but it's not going to look so great. So they better win this game. I think they're going to. This is still a tournament that's being held on U.S. soil. They are still the home team. I think they're going to be ready to kind of, you know, mess around with some of these lesser. You know, Martinique, they were awful. They were not good against El Salvador the other night. But Arena was kind of messing around with his lineup. I think, you know, he brought in Matt Hedges, an MLS defender, who looked completely out of his depth. I don't think he's going to play on Saturday. I think you're going to see Bradley and Kellen Acosta, a guy from FC Dallas and MLS, who's a really, really good young player, hasn't looked great so far this tournament, but I think you stick him next to Bradley. They're going to control the midfield, and I really think the U.S. is going to win that game. I think it'll be close. Costa Rica is a good team, 1-0, maybe 2-1, something like that. But I think Altidore is due for a goal. I think playing, you know, again, in their home country, that's a game that they had better win, and I think they're going to.
So, who do you like in Jamaica, Mexico?
Right. I've watched that Jamaica team a little bit. Like, their game against El Salvador is one of the worst games I may have ever seen. you know, they're a really fast team. They've got a guy named Darren Maddox, plays up front. They will kick 1,000 long balls to this guy and just let him chase him. And he does a terrific job of chasing him. But you can't beat a team like Mexico playing like that. Mexico is missing a lot of their stars, too, in kind of a similar way that the U.S. did. They didn't bring in the ringers, though, for the knockout stages. So I think, you know, U.S. is the favorite in this tournament. I think it's going to be U.S. and Mexico. I think the U.S. is going to just take it. Barely, again, due to the tournament being played in the U.S., but Jamaica is not going to be the team to beat Mexico. Most of their guys are, like, domestically based. They play in the Jamaican League, which, you know, I'm going to shock you here, Scott, but that's not really the strongest level of competition playing in the Jamaican League for Montego Bay. I think Mexico is going to handle them pretty easy. And it should set up a great final. Like, I mean, U.S. and Mexico, whenever they play, however they play, it's a big deal. An actual tournament final, I think, is going to be an awful lot of fun.
Is anything going to happen to the guy that from El Salvador that was biting Altidore the other night?
Supposedly the, you know, CONCACAF disciplinary hoo-ha administrators, whatever you want to call them, committee, you know, who knows if this committee even actually exists. But supposedly they're reviewing, you know, the footage. There's a picture of Omar Gonzalez's back on Twitter where you can see the bite marks. It's like a ring. It looked like a shark had gotten him. But, you know, it's unbelievable. And under any other federation, I would say, oh, well, these guys are going to be banned for, like, you know, months. They're going to miss five or six games, which is a big – you know, it's a long time in international soccer. You don't play that many games. But it's CONCACAF. Who knows? They'll probably get off with missing half of one game. This is the federation where, you know, nobody has – they're going to roll a 20-sided die, and whatever, you know, comes up, they're going to accord the punishment of, you know, based off of that. No one knows. They ought to, you know, not play again for a year. But I have no idea what's going to happen.
All right, so I got these games that I have in front of me. The first one I want to ask you about is Alabama and Florida State. What a game to kick off the season. Who do you like in that game?
I can't believe we get this game. Like, in the very first week of the season, it's a college football playoff caliber game to kick off. And really, it would not be a shock if these two teams play each other again for all the marbles at the end of the year. I like Alabama, though. I think you've got the entire offseason for Nick Saban to get ready, and it's a cliche by this point, but the guy has done it over and over again. We saw them play USC to start last season and absolutely obliterate them. A few years ago, it was Michigan. It was Clemson way back in the day after, 2009, I think, when Saban was really starting to get things going. You give him the entire offseason, he's going to be ready. And, you know, I don't want to – it sounds ridiculous to say Alabama, the consensus number one, maybe even unanimous preseason number one team, is a little bit underrated. But I feel like people aren't giving Jalen Hurts enough respect, maybe aren't giving that offense enough respect. What he did as a true freshman last year was phenomenal. Everybody remembers him being kind of scattershot at the end of the season in that Clemson game. He was a true freshman. He's got so many weapons at his disposal. He's got Bo Scarborough. He's got Calvin Ridley. That offense, unless their new offense coordinator, the guy they got from the Patriots, Brian Daboll, unless he's an idiot, which I don't think Nick Saban hires idiots, that offense is going to be ridiculous. Florida State's offensive line had issues last year. I love their skill guys, too. Francois, the quarterback, they've got a freshman running back, Cam Akers, who I think is going to be phenomenal. But their offensive line was not up to defending against Alabama, keeping Alabama out of your backfield standards last year, especially in week one. I don't see it happening for the Seminoles. I think it's going to be competitive for three quarters, maybe even three and a half. But in week one, neutral site, yeah, I'm going to take Alabama.
There you go. Jerry, great stuff tonight on all fronts. Talking bad about Hugh Freeze was fun. Talking Gold Cup was great. And then a little college football. I'm going to do more college football betting throughout the show tonight on a pain-free Friday. Jerry, great having you on the bench. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll catch up again soon.
Absolutely, Scott. Our college football season is going to be here before we know it. I would like to talk to you again at some point about that. I think we should.
You can count on that. Jerry, my man, thanks again.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, so we're gambling heavily all weekend. St. Louis is at Wrigley, Houston and Baltimore, Milwaukee and Philadelphia, Oakland's at City, Washington, Zona, Boston's in Anaheim, Pitt in Colorado, Toronto, Cleveland, just to name a few. The best picks for every game are at PharrellOnTheBench.com. We got Top Shelf, Daily Fantasy. The lineups we put out make people cash. Absolutely no one touches us when it comes to boxing and MMA either. The last MMA weekend we had, we went 7-1. How do you like them apples? The best results, the best price in the business is PharrellOnTheBench.com. We set the standard. Everybody knows it. It's the cheapest. All I do is make people money. Everybody's talking about it. You hear them calling the show. Pro and college football right around the corner doing push-ups. Oh, by the way, I hit more college and pro football games than anybody, too. Sign up today at PharrellOnTheBench.com. All right.
I got to ask you, because I know you were in the break and you were out of the room there. Did you see the ball that Aaron Judge just hit?
He just hit one out.
Hit it out. He almost hit it out of Safeco. I think it landed in the last row in the upper deck.
Did it really?
Three-run bomb. Obviously, first homer since the All-Star break. It was just an absolute just moonshot.
How far do you think it went? 500 feet?
Here it is now. They're showing the replay.
Oh, here we go.
Watch where this ball lands.
Oh, God.
Or just show him jogging around the bases, whatever you want to show.
That's what they're showing instead of where it lands.
Almost the last row in the upper deck.
So why not show where it lands instead of watching him fiddle around with his jewelry? So tell me the numbers on CC Sofacha in Seattle. He owns them?
He's 6-0 in his last seven starts at Safeco.
Really?
On his way to 7-0 in his last eight starts.
CC's sitting there telling him where it landed. That kid, I'm telling you, man, when he hits a home run, he means business. Remember, everybody wrote him off, right, after the All-Star game. He's the worst player in the league.
Ridiculous. What's it been, a week? I mean, come on. Give him a break.
He just had a little mini skid.
I think the guy's allowed it, considering how he played in the first half.
Do you still think he's an MVP?
Yes.
Of the league?
Right now, he is.
Really?
I mean, they've slid, though. You got to remember, they've been so bad the last month that probably he's still in the top three conversation for it. Way above that Coors Light sign they're showing right now. Way above that.
I'm surprised they didn't show it again where it landed. That's the story. Not that he hit a home run. It's where it landed. It's really not the highest thing I've ever seen, that outfield deck, that second deck. Wasn't it bigger at the Kingdom? Seemed like it was. Do you think that ballpark was bigger? The Kingdom?
No, I think this one is.
Really? Wow. All right, well, I don't know. That was a pretty big ballpark. You remember they used to make those, the Kingdom, the Astrodome? Now they have that great ballpark down in Tampa.
Weren't all those old, you know, poured concrete ballparks usually bigger? They made them more cavernous, and it was all about the pitchers back then. And, you know, they wanted to make it challenging for guys to hit it out. And, you know, it was more about the fancies as opposed to now. It's all about those boxes, so everything's right on the field. All the seats right. Are closer. All the, you know, it's tighter because you got all the stuff in the center field. Now you got to fit back there for all the fans to go do in the middle of your game because your games are boring.
So we were talking on the way here about the Marte Parte, your boy Mafia and I, about how, remember he failed a drug test, right, in April? And now he's back in their lineup, and he's scoring runs tonight in droves and producing.
Two stolen bases as well.
Right. So my question is, do you think he'll, like, what happens the rest of his career? Do you think he'll have to just constantly take drug tests and be labeled a drug abuser? Like, what happens? Do you think he's just like Braun or A-Rod or any of the others? Once they nail you and give you an 80-gamer, you're pretty much blackballed, aren't you? Aren't you on the drug list then? You're just a guy everybody thinks does drugs? Because he's a good player.
Pretty much.
Do you think he's been cheating the whole time he's been in baseball?
Sure.
Yeah. And finally got caught. Do you think he'll get away with, you know, the rest of his career? Do you think he'll be able to pass the drug test? Do you think he'll get nailed again?
I think he'll pass them. I mean, you got to be a lot smarter once they bust you once. If you're going to cheat, you got to do it a lot better this time around. Drugs are always
You got to stop using.
You got to stop using, but a lot of these guys never do. I don't know if, you know, he probably should, but how many guys still get caught again? There's a reason they have multiple, you know, suspensions in there. Because they know what's going to happen.
So they keep showing that outfield where the ball landed, but they haven't shown where it landed. What are they doing on there tonight? Are they drunk? What's going on? Yes. Like, show the highlight of the ball landing in the seats. They keep showing the section where it landed, but
then they showed him running in from the outfield instead of showing the home run.
They just don't show where the ball landed. It's unbelievable. How disappointing is their production of this game? No, I'm not even kidding. Like, how long do I have to sit and wait to see the ball land? Would they show it once? When I watch sports television, you watch the NFL, right? A play's made, right? They throw a pass for 20 yards. Let's say a out pattern. Guy steps out of bounds. How many times do they show it? Seven?
At least.
I mean, what is with, yes, they show the guy hit the home run. They never show it again. They just show him hitting it and then putting his chain in his shirt. Like, are you kidding me? You got to show, if you're talking about it on the show, they're sitting there talking about the home run, how mammoth it was, and they're showing the outfield, but they're not showing the ball landing. Why is that? How long do I have to sit and wait for it? I mean, gee, damn, how long do I have to wait to see it? It's just pathetic. Should I even be getting mad about this?
Probably not.
No. Somebody has passion around here to get angry about a long home run landing on some kook's head. Some outfield. Some drunk out there. Maybe some chick, some fat chick, it plopped off her head or something into her beer. Who just got a hit in a Pirate game? Maybe, I don't know, they're all cheering at the guy like he just had the greatest moment of his life. Maybe some rookie?
At this point, who hasn't gotten a hit in the Pirate game?
It is. It's his first hit. Some new guy. They're going to send the ball to Todd Frazier of the Yankees. Have you ever seen in your life a guy that's played, how long has he played in the big leagues? 10 years? He's been in the big leagues for a while, at least 7 years.
Five to seven, somewhere in that area.
Have you ever seen a guy?
What we saw the other night?
Yeah.
Never.
A guy that's been in the league that's hit 100 home runs? The guy, they gave him his first hit with the Yankees, they gave him the ball? A veteran of multiple seasons that's had multiple home runs and hits and RBIs, and they gave him the ball after he had his first hit as a Yankee? Are you kidding me? Was that not cheesy?
And that guy who got it for the Pirates was Jahan Marinez, who's right. A relief pitcher. So,
a relief pitcher got a hit. First hit ever. Marinez.
28 years old, third year in the majors.
First career hit.
I would assume so, yeah.
They love him. They're cheering for him in the dugout. So what do you think of my Bucks? Do you think they have a shot? Seriously, because I just want to, like, just in the division itself, do you realize they're only 2.5 out? That's crazy, right? They're only 1.5 behind the Cubs.
That is amazing, considering all year we've been talking about, okay, well, Milwaukee's got the division, but when is Chicago going to come alive and take it over? Chicago's going away with 10 games. Like, we never even looked at the Pirates to be a possibility of coming back for that. And not only are they 2.5 games behind the division, but that's the only way they're getting in because they're 7.5 games behind the wild card. So, you know, it's not often you can say that a team that's third place in their division has a better chance of winning the division than the wild card.
I honestly, listen, I was on in Milwaukee this week. They've had a great season. They have. And it's been very exciting for a $61 million payroll. And as bad as their defense is, it's you've seen it, Carver High. Remember that night, 5 errors in that Friday night game that took 5 hours that they beat the Yankees' ass and we never got on the fan till 1 in the morning? I'll never forget that night as long as I live. But do you feel that they're melting right now? They're finished? Do you think it's over for them?
It's certainly starting to look that
way. They've dropped 6 in a row. They're like, this is it right here. This is the end.
I mean, and they're playing the Phillies this weekend, who are the worst team.
And they already beat them.
Yeah. It's just
swept by the Pirates, and now the Phillies. Nola beat them. Mafia, do you think they're done? Do you think this is it for the Brewers, or are you buying that they still have a shot? Because I was talking to people the other day saying they'll, at worst, finish 4 games back. Last night we were talking to the guy, Swick, right? He said 4 games back they'll finish. And Carver Hyde said 14 games back. He thinks the Cubs will run away with it. Do you think that the Pirates have a better chance now than the Brewers?
I'm starting to think they do. I mean, and looking at the schedule, too. I mean, you got Philly now, but you lost them, like you said. You got Washington coming up after that, the Cubs after that. So, you know, they can find themselves out of division lead before we get out of the month. And then the rest of their season, I mean, they have some soft part of the schedule to begin August with teams like Minnesota and Tampa. I mean, Tampa, Minnesota both playing well enough. They're not going to be easy. St. Louis is going to throw Wainwright at some point, so that's going to be hard for them. They're not having an easy go the rest of the way. They have Pittsburgh again. They have Colorado late. They have, you know, San Fran.
You know what? Wait a minute. Go back to the St. Louis thing. Wainwright, they suck.
But Wainwright's 11-5.
But that team's been terrible.
They are, but he isn't.
Do you think did you just see the rally killer get a hit tonight? Was that, did he just get a hit? Or am I having replay-itis?
I believe he did.
The rally killer with a hit.
Because he's hitting ahead of the Red Rocket here.
All right, so the Red Rocket's up. Now, you have got to listen, I need to talk about this more. I'm going to have to do this at the top of the hour, aren't I?
So they still have 10 left with the Cubs and 8 left with Pittsburgh. So, yeah, I think they're done.
So let me say this. The Pirates right now start a 9-game trip. They've scored 12 runs tonight in Colorado. They play Colorado this weekend, right? Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Then they go to San Francisco. Then they go to San Diego. We just said, Mavi and I, that those are terrible teams. The Pirates have to do well on this trip like they are right now. They're 6 in a row if they win tonight. Keep winning against these crappy teams, and they could be a serious threat in that Central and to the Cubs, because everybody knows it's the Cubs, that it's the Cubs that you have to worry about. The Brewers are tanking right now. Times are a-changing, believe me you. 2 hours to go on a pain-free Friday, 855-212-4-CBS.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.